And he is making a very generous pledge and loves the classical music, all jazz. And he took one of our special thank you gifts, one that I have not mentioned this morning, but it's the I Miss Nixon bumper sticker. And whether you're old enough to remember Nixon or not, it's a very good sentiment.
Yep.
So thank you, Michael. So kind of you to call in. And we really appreciate your support. So there's room for you, but we are at the top.
We are. And I once again, thanks, Carol, for being here. And thank all of you who pledged. And you could still get under the wire. 608, we did.
Oh, we got one more. We got one more.
All right.
Thank you. This one is from a kind anonymous person who loves all the classical shows and says, I remember my first class with Ronald Mitchell. So there.
Well, good.
Thank you so much, Anonymous. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, everyone who pledged.
Indeed, and thanks for being with us on Fantasia. Stay tuned for the 8 o'clock buzz and the BBC news that precedes that here at WORTFM 89.9 Madison. We go with Prokofiev's famous march. Thanks again.
Have carried out a mass execution of 52 people of the Alawite minority in the coastal province of Latakia. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says activists have released footage showing dozens of bodies in civilian clothing piled in the yard of a house. Here's Hugo Beshega.
We haven't been able to independently verify the authenticity of the footage, but this follows clashes in Latakia between government forces and supporters of the deposed president, Bashar al-Assad. Syria's coastal region is the heartland of Assad's Alawite minority, and security forces are carrying out a large operation against his loyalists. This is the worst violence in Syria since Islamist-led rebels toppled the regime in December, and a major challenge to the efforts of the interim president, Ahmed al-Sharaa, to consolidate his authority in a fractured country.
More than 180 people are missing after four boats carrying migrants from Djibouti to Yemen capsized. The UN's migration body said two people were known to have died off the coast of Yemen. It said some crew members of the capsized boats had been rescued, but most of the passengers were missing. More from Nkechi Obona.
The boats actually capsized Thursday night, according to the IOM, which is the UN's migration body. The UN did not give any information on the identity of the people on the boats. But we do know that the route is often used by Ethiopians and Eritreans and Kenyans as well, who are looking for work in countries in the Gulf. And so it's a very common migrant route in East Africa.
A former spy chief in France has been jailed for using his security contacts for private gain, including by gathering confidential information for the luxury goods giant LVMH. Bernard Squassini was given a two-year sentence. He says he'll appeal. Warren Bull reports.
Bernard Squassini was the head of France's domestic intelligence agency under President Nicolas Sarkozy and was later hired as a security consultant by LVMH. Prosecutors say Squassini misused public funds and compromised national security data for the benefit of his new employer. They said his actions included illegal surveillance of a left-wing publication and its activists. The high-profile trial included testimony by France's richest man, Bernard Arnault, who denied any knowledge of a scheme to protect his luxury group.
Ukraine says Britain has delivered a first tranche of the proceeds of frozen Russian assets. The Prime Minister, Denis Shmyhal, said the $1 billion would help strengthen Ukraine's defence capabilities as it prepares for a cut in American support. Overnight, Ukraine was subjected to another mass Russian attack. BBC News.
Bon dia, Madison. The Hanfibians are proud to present Madison Carnival 2025, Saturday, March 8th, live at the Majestic Theater.
Join us as we celebrate 25 years of Carnival in Madison with an evening of Brazilian drumming, dance, and culture.
The night will showcase the vibrant rhythms of the Hanfibians community Bateria and the high-energy performances by Ochimo Dance and Madison Capoeira.
The event will also feature performances by bands from our samba community. Grupo Balança, Samba Novistas, Madison Choro Ensemble, Saideira Pagode, and more.
That's the Madison Carnival 25th Anniversary, March 8th at the Majestic Theater.
More information at madisoncarnival.com.
Bringing you the rich culture and music of Brazil, this is WORT Madison.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and TNW Ensemble Theater, presenting Scammed, a new comedy running March 13th through March 23rd at TNW Ensemble Theater, 1957 Winnebago Street. When a freelancing editor falls for a classic scam, she assumes the amoral alter ego of Helen Wheels to get even. Tickets are available at the door with cash or check, or online through Ticket Tailor. More information is available by calling 608-770-0826.
The Friday 8 o'clock buzz. I'm Andy Moore. We're coming in like a lion on the first Friday in March. That's because it's the union, the reunion, and the reunion of Andy Moore and Jonathan Zaroff.
It's rare. Usually we just have like one is enough, you know, and then the other gets to go somewhere. But yeah, hey, it's the pledge drive. 256-2001 is the number to call, or go online at wrtfm.org. And if I'm talking fast, it's because Mark Pocan's coming up.
That's right.
Your thunder?
In fact,
I'm excited.
Oh, no, I am too. We have Representative Pocan on the line, and we're going to get to that interview in just a second. But right before I walked in, I picked up the phone and I told Representative Pocan we have to do a little bit of on-air fundraising, and he gets it.
Yeah.
Community radio has never been at risk the way we are right now. And so join your two Friday Buzz hosts, one alum and one present, and do an online donation as well.
Yeah. Be great to get that in before Mark Pocan comes on, and then you can listen to the interview. This is your last chance to pledge on Friday for Andy's show. Every show, we want to make our goal and know that people are listening out there, and this is the time that we hear from you, and this is like your vote for the show, really. So please give us a call.
It's so fun to have you back. We're 608-256-2001. I cut you off on that number. 608-256-2001. Chuck will be glad to take your call. Chuck Benish is out there volunteering.
And Aisha and Elliot's our receptionist, who's also taking calls, and Einstein's Coffee and Bagels provided the good stuff.
Jonathan, when you hear the theme song, or is it like Pavlovian for you?
Yeah,
you're
pretty
like,
much.
I better get awake.
I'll tell you, Andy, too. You come in at the right point. Like if any buzz host ever doesn't come in at that exact point, I'm like, I'm not OCD particularly, but that gets to me.
You know, I am when it comes to those kinds of things.
It's got
to
be after the second A section,
on that like rim shot. Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you for noticing that. Great minds, right? 256-2001 in the area code of 608. We are community radio. But we aren't community without you. We aren't community radio without your ears and your wallet.
I've been rearranging like a lot of people where I put my media money, man. Subscriptions, canceling a lot of them and finding new ones. But WRT, that is a steady one for me. And if you feel like I do about the station, then hopefully you are doubling down on WRT in this current media landscape.
608-256-2001. We're going to talk to Representative Pocan in just a moment about this very, very troubling week. I suppose we're in the habit of calling them troubling weeks, but community radio reaches out to our elected officials in Congress and state government, and they come and they participate. They put a value on community radio as well when they participate in segments like we're just about to have. So it's sort of leading by example.
Yeah, this is the great kind of radio you get every week from Andy, from the ridiculous to the sublime is how I always put it. You've got other words, but it's the same concepts, like, you know, all of life, the richness of life can be serious, life can be tragic, life can be fun and silly, and you get it all with Andy. It's a well-rounded show.
Well, thanks a lot, Jonathan. We try. We've got a good team here. Jim Wilson, Encore, plays music every week that you would never hear anywhere else, except maybe when he does the Saturday show and here.
It's amazing that it fits into a 57-minute news show packed with interviews that Anker fits in great new music for people to hear. It's
just from all over the world.
Yeah.
So, okay, 608-256-2001. Jonathan, thanks for being here, and we're gonna bring you in and out throughout the hour. We're going to bring Representative Mark Polkan on in just a minute after a little bit of music. You're listening to WRT FM 89.9 in Madison, Wisconsin. It's 8:10. Friday 8 o'clock buzz. I'm Andy Moore. As the late Hunter S. Thompson put it, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. You have to wonder what Thompson would have written about Trump's State of the Union speech Tuesday night in Washington before lawmakers from both houses. If you missed it or avoided it, it was an expected hour and 40 minutes of doubling down on everything on the MAGA to-do list. But it was as personal as it was policy-driven, also probably no surprise. The president brazenly showed his disgust for about half of the people in the chamber, those people being elected members of Congress from the Democratic Party. One of those members joins us now, 2nd District U.S. Representative Mark Polkan. Good morning, and welcome back to the Friday Buzz, Representative Polkan.
Oh, thanks for having me, Andy. And if I can, just real quick, you know, a big part of what we're talking about we need to do to fight back right now is by sharing, you know, the right information when there's so much disinformation out there. And, you know, that's what WORT is doing. So when people ask me what they can do to fight back, it's support the groups that are doing litigation, because that's stopping things, and help us on communication. And that's things like WORT. So, you know, I'm glad, you know, that you guys are doing what you're doing and people are supporting you.
Representative Polkan, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much. Wait, to Washington. What was it like to be there Tuesday night?
I've never seen a State of the Union quite like that. And, you know, members are really where our constituents are, right? I mean, we're pissed. And that's the feeling that's there. We're trying to do everything we can to fight back. But, you know, there's so much happening. I think the main thing to keep focus on is that this is about the holy grail for right now for Donald Trump and Elon Musk is this tax cut for the wealthiest. It's a transfer of $4.5 trillion from the middle class and those aspiring to be in the middle class to the wealthiest, to the Elon Musk and Donald Trumps of the world. And all this DOGE commission about waste, fraud, and abuse, everything that they're doing and saying right now is all about trying to get this done by April. And if they do that, they'll put that in place for 10 years for, again, Donald Trump and Elon Musk. So as much as, you know, it was more of a campaign speech, he talked about Greenland and the Panama Canal and, you know, went on and on and on, enough that I had to leave. I just couldn't take it anymore during the speech. But what he didn't do is talk about stealing money, the ripoff that they're doing from the middle class to the wealthiest, for good reason. And that's what the information we have to get out there.
I want to ask you about your decision to go ahead and scoot before the speech was over. But before I do, I want to, just listening carefully to what you were just saying, it's so important because we are sort of approaching a time when, you know, there won't be any more things to do with executive orders. And when you talk about those tax cuts, now we're talking about Congress being involved. And tell us how you see, you know, actual, and this is a busy month for Congress too, how will this take shape in the place where it really matters, in the Senate and in the House with regards to the tax cut?
Yeah, so last week they set up, by passing their budget bill, they set up the process for reconciliation. All that really means in short form is it's a way to get around the 60-vote rule in the Senate. But that bill is trying to cut $1.5 trillion as a part of the goal to get to the $4.5 trillion to fund the tax cuts. But they're doing it by cutting things like Medicaid and food assistance, you know, the number one program that keeps kids out of poverty, and education, a 45% cut to the Department of Education funding under the committee that the Committee of Education has jurisdiction. And they are trying to act like, oh, no, we didn't cut Medicaid. It doesn't say Medicaid in the bill. Well, here's, you know, why the lie, why they don't want to have town halls right now, because they're lying. When you cut $880 billion, which is what they all voted for, from the jurisdiction of the Energy and Commerce Committee, their jurisdiction includes Medicaid and Medicare and then a bunch of other programs. All the other programs together are less than the cut that they all voted for. It's less than the $880 billion. So you either have to cut Medicaid or Medicare to hit their minimum goal. That was their minimum goal for cuts. So that's the reality. Those are programs that we benefit from. One in three kids in Wisconsin get their health care from Medicaid. 55% of seniors in nursing homes. 45% of adults with disabilities living independently. So that's the setup. And then I think in April will probably be the final vote, because Trump said he wanted to do it in his first 100 days, but they're down a couple people from appointments out of the House to his cabinet. So we have really 30 to 45 days to fight back to make sure that they don't cut programs that benefit us just so that the richest get the tax cuts. And that's the votes that right now are going to be going through the House and the Senate very, very soon.
And you mentioned town halls. I know you have one scheduled tomorrow in Lafayette County, just about 10 miles from the border of the 3rd Congressional District. And I'm aware that you've invited 3rd Congressional constituents to come over the line into the 2nd and participate in the town hall. But you also asked Republican Representative Van Orden to attend as well. Have you heard yay or nay from him?
Yeah, I heard from him. He had some convoluted answer, but basically there's no way he's going to come, because there's no way he's going to talk to his constituents. He hasn't had an open public town hall that I know of in the last 2 years since he's been elected. He doesn't listen to the people who elected him. So we invited him. He turned it down, but we're inviting people from the 3rd District to come so that at least a member of Congress can hear from them. But, you know, this is what's important. Tonight I'll be in Kenosha with Bernie Sanders, and we're doing a town hall as well, and a slightly different format, but a town hall. And we're just trying to get out there and let people know, because Republicans, I mean, common sense, Andy, that's what I love about Wisconsin. We're such common sense people. I mean, if you were so proud of a bill that's going to do so much good, you would get up on top of the roof and scream about it. Instead, they're all hiding in a hole, and they won't have a town hall. So I want to have them for him. I did that years ago down in the 1st District for Paul Ryan when he was not talking to his constituents. And now we're going to do it again, because I think this is the worst thing I have seen happen in my 12 years in Congress. And we've got to do everything to try to stop it.
I want to go back to Tuesday night and ask you about that walkout that you participated in. I've covered you and in and out of Congress for many years, and I know that you think these things through. What do you believe that accomplished when you left the floor?
Well, I think it was just, you know, saying we've had enough of the lies, right? I mean, we tried to fact check him on the floor. We had some signs that say false. You know, my arm was getting tired, honestly, an hour and plus of fact-checking the guy. But, you know, if you can't say it in an hour or so, I mean, I stayed through a good chunk, I mean, far more than probably three-quarters of the speech before finally kind of had it, you know. But he was doing a campaign speech, and he wasn't addressing what they're actually doing. So it was more important that I got out there and talked about what he should be talking about, which is what they're about to do to the American people.
These are such unprecedented times with people, you know, carrying on in various personal ways on both sides of the podium. And events like what we witnessed on Tuesday night, and not to obsess over the walkout, Representative Pocan, but the response in among people I've talked to here in Madison, and, these are supporters of yours, just East Side neighbors. A few sort of were rustled by that, and said, we, in so many words, we can't walk out. Why can he? We need him in the room to represent us. What do you tell them?
Actually, it's just the opposite. I've heard more people who wanted us to do what Al Green did and disrupt the proceedings, which I wasn't going to do because I do respect the institution, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we've heard mostly. I mean, you know, the problem is everyone has an opinion. I mean, originally, I have not gone to some past, you know, ones. That was my way of protesting.
But
honestly, the times right now are more important, that if you're not showing up, you need to do more, right? So I had to go there. You know, for AOC, it was important she wasn't there because she's got such a vast audience. She was live tweeting and talking about it and live streaming about it. And that was important for her role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not AOC. I don't have that media, reach that she's got. But for a lot of the rest of us, for the Congressional Progressive Caucus, we wanted to fact check it and try to do something live so that, you know, the problem is, you know, we had everybody, we are Democrats and we're a little disorganized. And I think you had everyone kind of doing their own thing. At the end of the day, I think the obsession should be on what he didn't talk about, which is what he's doing to the American people, which is stealing $4.5 trillion of programs that benefit us to fund a tax cut for the wealthiest. And everything else, quite honestly, is exactly what they want us to talk about. So, if I seem a little obsessive, it's for a reason, because this vote will happen probably in April, and then it puts the tax cuts in place for a decade. So the fight is in the next 30 to 45 days. We need everyone in this fight. We need to make members of Congress in Wisconsin in Republican districts have town halls to hear from their constituents rather than cowering in holes. But anything else, honestly, is you know, kind of the garnish on the plate, not the meat and potatoes. So let's focus on the meat and potatoes.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Wisconsin 2nd District U.S. Representative Democrat Mark Pocan. I'm tuning into your own focus on the tax cuts, and when you put it in the context that you're sharing with us this morning, the takeover of Greenland and renaming bodies of water does seem like just smoke and mirrors. So let's stay with maybe some other policy here for a moment. As economically dangerous as it is, it seems like Trump is really just a mischief maker. It seems when it comes to his on again and off again game of tariffs. But what are the practical risks, Representative Pocan, of these on again, off again tariff threats?
Well, so that's the thing. His biggest strength on Election Day in November was the economy. Half the people who voted for him said they voted because of the economy, because we have worldwide inflation, but people somehow, expressed their displeasure against that inflation by voting against Kamala Harris. The thing is, now his number one detriment is the economy, because he hasn't done a single thing. In fact, costs are going up. And with tariffs, they're going to go up even more, because our number one trading partner in Wisconsin is Canada. Number two is Mexico. Number three is China. Guess what? Three countries are getting tariffs. So my guest at the State of the Union was a farmer from Wisconsin. Emmett Fisher has got a small CSA farm, helping feed about 90, 100 families near him, and his milk bottles. He's got dairy and vegetables. The raw product comes from America, goes to Canada. Canada is where the bottles come from and come back in. They're going to get a tariff going to Canada. They get a tariff coming back. And he's told that's going to double the cost of milk bottles. So people are going to be paying $2 or $3 more per bottle in order to do this. Well, at some point, that's going to affect his sales. It's going to hurt Wisconsin and other farmers. And that's the reality of indiscriminate tariffs. Now, if this was just a targeted tariff on something like we've had in the past, steel, where they were dumping cheap steel and hurting American workers, that makes sense. But wholesale, indiscriminate, and even more than indiscriminate. He does them one day and takes them off 2 days later. And, you know, it's just so chaotic. But as long as we're focusing on the chaos, he likes that because he's kind of slipping a lot of stuff through the back door. Mm. And, you know, I actually think much of the tariff fight is really about artificial revenue that he's using to fund the tax cuts. Because last time he just put everything on the national debt. This time he's going to claim he has revenue from tariffs. He's going to take the $1.5 trillion cuts on the programs. And then at the end of the day, say he funded the tax cuts, which he won't have. And then we all get to pay for the debt in the future because a lot of this wasn't realized. So sometimes there's a lot of Wizard of Oz going on. He's the man behind the curtain and may not be the same as what he pretends to be. And we just have to kind of understand he purposely puts shiny objects out there. Not everyone is worthy of taking.
Your Wizard of Oz example makes my mind sort of real, and I picture many people who did watch the State of the Union on Tuesday running down that hallway like the lion and diving through the plate glass.
You remember? Yeah,
In what ways will we see Congress participate in the Ukraine crisis in the coming weeks?
Well, I mean, you know, I think even Republicans, there are some Republicans, even though that night I watched, they all stood up no matter what he said. But then you saw them later say things more privately. You know, there is a lot more support for Ukraine and for, you know, addressing Vladimir Putin in a more significant way. And I think that's partially why he scaled back a little bit. Yeah, he got his letter that he wanted from Zelensky, but, you know, he obviously set that up the way he did with the press, because normally those conversations don't happen like that with foreign leaders, but he kind of intentionally did it for a reason. Our concern is, you know, when we're voting in the UN with some of the most rogue nations on the planet against, you know, everyone else, something's wrong. And, you know, I think at some point in history, we'll find out why he really did all this stuff, but it certainly wasn't in the national interest.
Let's bring some of these global and domestic, and we just have you for a few more minutes. Let's bring some of these fireworks into the Badger State. What are your concerns about MAGA momentum fueling the forthcoming Crawford-Schimmel race for the open seat on Wisconsin's High Court?
Well, I woke up to seeing Elon Musk has put another $1 million, and I think that's at least, I think now 4 million hard and maybe another a couple million into some other ways that he's put into this race. And, you know, Elon Musk was the biggest donor in the presidential race, $277 million directly for Donald Trump and Republicans, plus tens of millions indirectly. And now he's trying to buy the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the one place for sure you don't want bought, right? And I think the fact that, you know, we have a failed attorney general who, you know, didn't process rape kits, you know, timely, who, you know, now is willing to be bought by this oligarch who's not from Wisconsin, that should concern people. And if you want a fair and independent court, you want to have the best person there. And I think Susan Crawford, by far, you know, being an actual judge and doing, you know, the work every single day, is the person that we need to elect. But even more importantly, if you want to send a message, if you're pissed off right now about what's happening with Donald Trump and Elon Musk, the single best way we can send that message that helps us to fight back on this tax cut is if on April 1st, if people actually vote for Susan Crawford and we beat back Elon Musk's money, it'll show them that what they're doing isn't popular, and it helps give us a little lift in the sales of trying to fight back.
Representative Pocan, in just a minute or so we have left, we seemed, I mentioned unprecedented earlier, these uncharted, unprecedented waters we're swimming in, where traditional citizen responses to political crises seem quaint, even impotent. And with all due respect to people who are participating in things like rallies and carrying signs and calling and leaving messages on selected members of Congress's voicemail, it goes back to sort of a helplessness that maybe the electorate is feeling right now. In this wildfire of a political era, what do you tell people who want to help try to change the ship's direction?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, again, keep the calls up because they do matter. We all get reports of those, and that has more weight than you may think. But You know, this is the two things I said at the beginning of the program. I'm going to say again, support the groups that are doing litigation because they're actually stopping things. We don't, you know, elections have consequences and we don't have a majority in the House or the Senate and we don't have the White House. So that is the best thing that's happening. And communication, you know, thanks for WART. Thanks for other entities that we can get information out that fight back against the disinformation, because if we all share that in our social media and we get this out, you know, if the people lead, eventually the leaders will follow, right? A lot of people want Democrats to do more. I do too. But, you know, we may just have to be the ones leading this in many ways. And I think, you know, we do have that fight. But the next 30 to 45 days are crucial. People need to be as active as possible. And especially, you know, people outside of, you know, in Wisconsin, outside of Madison and Milwaukee, where there's Republican congressional districts, we need to get people to try to force them to do town halls because, again, you know, the sunlight is the best disinfectant. Let's let people see what they're really doing, and I think we'll do well.
I think some listeners may be a little bit in the dark when you mention support groups who are doing litigation. Could you just provide another detail or two about what you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to apologize up front that I don't know. There's actually litigation trackers out there. You can search that on like Google and find them. But there's, you know, literally hundreds of lawsuits. I mean, not hundreds, but over 100 lawsuits out there by different groups, depending what you care about most. If it's firing the federal employees, if it's going after Medicaid, whatever it is.
Yes.
And then support those groups that match your values. But that is our best strategy to slow down and to stop things right now.
U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, we just scratched the surface, but we got some things done here, and we're so grateful to you for joining us this morning. Thank you, and I hope you'll come back soon.
Yeah, absolutely, Andy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Democrat Mark Pocan represents Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. He has that town hall in Lafayette County for you listeners in that part of the state tomorrow. More information on that is on the representative's website. Jonathan Zaroff is with me and has been with you over many years on these airwaves, and we're going to try to raise a little bit of money right now.
Yeah, please give us a call at 608-256-2001 if you appreciated, I don't know if enjoy is the word always, if you appreciated that interview with Mark Pocan. I sure did. It was great to hear from him and get those insights from a Madison, Wisconsin point of view. What he mentioned about litigation tracking, you can find that at justsecurity.org is a great place to start. Look that up. You can also Google around yourself, but I thought that was great advice.
Yes, I hadn't thought about that.
Right, not something I'm doing, but something I would like to do now that he's brought that up.
Yes, and you hear, you know, about the hundreds of lawsuits, and then, of course, it makes sense that someone is litigating on the side you want to win.
Yeah, and that they might be a nonprofit, they might need your support, just like WRT does. And, you know, and it's not just Representative Mark Pocan, but Tammy Baldwin was on recently. Man, I've interviewed Tammy Baldwin probably 30-some years ago. So WRT has a long history of bringing our representatives onto the air and asking them different questions than other media does, I think. Governor Tony Evers was on a special New Year's show, right?
Right, that's right. He gave us kind of an exclusive interview that last week in December, I think is what you're saying. It's something that we value here, and we hope that listeners do as well.
And, you know, it's about balance too, because we can't be thinking and working at that and making our brains do that kind of work all the time. We need a little bit of joy and levity. So Elon Musk, you wouldn't think that would be joy and levity, but since Elon Musk was on the show and was actually played by Scott Dickers of Onion fame, there was some joy and levity in that.
And Scott has portrayed Elon, I think, 3 times now. We're, of course, very pleased that each time that he's made an appearance as Elon, people actually thought it was Elon Musk. So I think that was terribly satisfying.
It's really hard to do satire these days, but I'm glad you're doing it. Hey, something we didn't mention, Andy, when people call 608-256-2001 or go to WRTFM.org and make their pledge, for every new donor who donates to this show, WRT receives double their donation. And for every lapsed donor who donates to the show, I think that is 18 months is considered lapse. Also, double your donation. So really a great time to make a difference. And Anonymous did make a pledge. Thank you so much to Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous. We got a pledge from Hana, who runs the Cafe Coda on Williamson Street.
Thank you, Hana.
And you talk about community and culture. That's a crossroads for both of those. Hana, thank you for throwing your hat into the community radio ring with us this morning. And thank you for listening. We really, really appreciate you. And please join Hana and give us a call at 608-256-2001. Jonathan, we did really crappy last week.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We did. And
we're
and
sort of got to make up ground.
We are. I mean, it's like it hurts to say that, but you got to be honest. I mean, it's a trudge, the winter pledge drive, and we understand that. But also, I sound like the third grader with the dog and his homework, but the web was down during our hour last week. And
That's valid. And now everybody that wasn't able to pledge then can pledge right now. We needed 10 pledges about for this show. Now I'm going to say we probably need 15 to 20 pledges. That's possible to do. There's plenty of thank you gifts too. You can see them on the website, but you know, the I Miss Nixon bumper sticker, the Progressive magazine, the cross body bag's been very popular. There's an umbrella for $89.90. Oh my gosh. You can tell us what your favorite shows are. We'd love to hear that. And we add them all up and look at them and see you after the pledge drive. So it's always, you know, good for you to put your support behind who you love, like Amy Goodman, Classical Music, and Mel and Floyd from Anonymous here.
That's good. And of course, our salaries get bumped when our program does well here.
Andy does not get paid a single dime for doing this, and he's putting in a lot of time, I can tell you, because I've done the show, and Andy puts in, I think, more time than I did preparing.
I don't know about that.
I hope that, I think it shows. Yeah, that's why I'm guessing he put in more time.
Jonathan Zaroff, we are going to take a little break. We're going to get Encore's Picks. We're going to have some music. Then we're going to come back with our segment two guest, who will tell us all about a new Dane County food plan, an action plan, which is, again, an example of community on community radio. You're listening to WRT FM 89.9 in Madison, Wisconsin. It's 8:36.
Graham comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
Support for this program comes from Edgewood College Theater, presenting Kimberly Bellflower's biting, funny new play, John Proctor is the Villain, directed by Jeannie Leap, February 28th to March 8th at the Diane Bullwig Theater. At a rural high school in Georgia, teens are studying The Crucible while navigating love, sex, and school scandals. Holding a contemporary lens to the American classic, they question, who is really the hero and what is the truth? Discovering their own power in the process. Tickets at edgewood.edu/about/events/theater or search Edgewood College Theater.
Folks, these are roller coaster times, but the one thing that remains constant, the one thing you can lean on, the one thing you can depend on, is making smart live music choices for the week to come. That's because you're in good hands with Encore's Picks. And before we hear Encore's Picks, here's Jim Wilson with the Encore's Picks disclaimer.
Encore's Picks are not influenced by any outside entities. Encore consults with an advisory board of one, Encore Malhotra. The cost of admission to any recommended show is of no concern to Encore, nor the price of beer, nor the cleanliness of the venue restrooms. Encore has one goal and one goal only in the delivery of Encore's Picks, for you to have a kick-ass musical experience. Encore's Picks is a trademark of the multinational corporation DJ Spin Cycle. All copy and trade therein is solely possessed. Here's Encore Malhotra!
Good morning. Good morning, Madison. March Madness, I guess. Because, guess what? I got 5 shows happening today that are on my picks. Gamma Ray Bar today. Modular Residence with RMM, Santin, Bumbak Joe. And also at Gamma Ray, early evening show, 5 p.m., Shaky, Neil Young. March 7, Spine Sealers. They've been on this show before.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they play Old Brick Gardens, Canopy Sessions. Also, March 7, today, Mansion Hill Inn, Caravan, and yeah, and then Cafe Coda, Anna John Taylor, thank you once again. We've got Farid Haq Group playing at Cafe Coda tonight. And yeah, it's been Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, just went past. And but March 8th, we have Gaelic Storm, Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band at the Barrymore. Also March 8th, tomorrow, the Majestic, Amphibians, Otimo Gutans, Madison Capoeira, Grupo Balanca, Samba Novistas, Madison Shoro Ensemble at the Majestic. March 9th, North Mississippi All-Stars, High Noon Saloon. Tons of music. Get out and play.
That's a truckload. Thank you, Ankur, and welcome back. We missed you when you go away, but it's always great to have you back. Ankur picks everyone for March 7. We're going to listen to just a little bit of music, and we'll come back. And thank you for making that call right now at 608-256-2001. We'll thank you when we come back.
And in fact, we are approximately at the beginning of the Cambrian explosion now, and some decades are required to recapitulate what in biology took 500 million years.
Friday 8 o'clock buzz. I'm Andy Moore. We are raising money, and the calls are really starting to come in now, Jonathan, and the online donations as well, right?
Yep, we got people to thank, and that's great. We've got momentum. Let's keep it going. Somebody named Peggy, who you might know, I think she lives in your neighborhood, Andy Moore. She has the same
last
name. Thank
you, Margaret Ann. Oh, that's so sweet.
Not surprising that she listens to the Friday 8 o'clock buzz, and also Mel and Floyd in Public Affair.
Thank you.
We've got Norm Stockwell, the publisher of The Progressive. And
royalty.
Yeah, there you go, royalty. We would say oligarch, but that word has been, that's not a good word for Norm Stockwell. It's like the opposite of a good word. He said, all thanks to Andy and Jonathan. Great show. Hey, thanks to Norm Stockwell.
Thank you so much, Norm.
We've also got a few online pledges. Kia. She listens to The Buzz and Fire Worship and Global Revolutions and says, enjoying Team Andathon this morning. I'm an Evergreen donor, throwing a little extra in the tip
jar.
Thank
you, Kia. And you know what? Kia is also a sometimes fundraiser with us and also a dynamite substitute host on Friday. Thank you, Kia.
Yeah, absolutely. And a stalwart musician creating lots of community, and WRT is benefiting.
And shenanigans.
And putting wind in the sails of Kia's community.
A true
efforts.
Medium friend.
Yeah, I think Andathon, it would be, if we were going out and making a blockbuster Hollywood movie, that's what they'd call us.
I think it would, yeah.
Yeah, and then we've got, let's see, Patty to thank. The Buzz, and thank you so much. We got one more that came in online. You make those pledges online at WORTFM.org. And oh, right, I took a picture of that one. That's where that one is. Coco is one of the names we use for this.
Who was sitting in this chair that you're sitting in, Jonathan, just last week. Thank you, Coco. You know what?
Actually, and they're going by Colleen this morning, here.
Okay.
Buzz, Mel and Floyd. Mel and Floyd, you got a lot of crossover with Mel and Floyd.
Seems like it. I don't think that's accidental. I don't know. The silly and the serious, I think. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Folks, Kia and Colleen are examples, and Jonathan, too, of not only giving money, but their time. I should say not only giving time, but also their money. And so I hope that inspires a couple of more calls here as we get into this next segment, which I'm going to go ahead and do now, Jim Wilson and Ankur and Jonathan, and we will ask for some more money before the hour is up. But please keep the calls coming. Just keep them coming and the online.
Absolutely. Chuck, Aisha, and Elliot are out there taking your calls at 608-256-2001. You can also go to wrtfm.org.
Okay, thank you again, Jay-Z. Segment two. Late last week, nearly 100 community members attended a gathering at Madison College for the launch of the Dane County Food Action Plan. The project is an effort of a large group of area nonprofits and government agencies, including organizations like REAP Food Group, Dane County Extension, Public Health Madison. The project aims to build a more equitable, healthy, and resilient food system in Dane County through using strategic policy recommendations and community collaboration, a lot of work. Another sponsor group is Mosaic, a grassroots consulting firm that works to build inclusive communities, specializing in helping nonprofits and government work together through an anti-racist lens. Abba Thakur is a social change practitioner and the owner of Mosaic, and she joins us now by phone. Good morning, Abba, and welcome to the Friday Buzz.
Hi, Andy. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be able to talk about this with your audience.
We're excited to have you. Let's start out with sort of a simple question. What exactly is a food action plan?
Yeah, thanks. So essentially what we're looking at is developing what would be a policy document that includes policy recommendations, resources, relationships, infrastructure, sort of describes all the different activities that we, based on what we hear from the community, that we would recommend in order to help transform our food system in the direction of the values that the community holds dear.
A policy recommendation really does turn it into an action plan. It's not just a what if food systems become policy, then they become more ingrained in our society, right?
Yeah, it's a complicated thing. You know, our food system is sort of lives at the intersection of our public and private institutions, right? There's plenty of private actors that are involved in food systems, such as grocery stores and farmers and distributors like trucking companies and warehousing, as well as consumers that are picking and choosing what they eat. And so what we're trying to do is find that sweet spot where the public sector, in other words, local and county government, can play a role in really helping to both bridge the connections between those private actors and also provide the kind of the value direction of where we want to go together, or as well as incentivize those things. And so how can we use local policies and local resources to create the outcomes that we hope to see in our food system?
Well, on our way to a transformational new kind of food action plan, help us with a little bit of context. The words food systems are rather thought-provoking, and it certainly caught my eye in this news item. Help our listeners understand, how would you describe a traditional food system?
Yeah, we think of it as sort of the coming together of multiple sectors that create our experiences with food. So we start, for example, with agricultural production, the farmers who grow our food, the folks who raise the livestock, right? And then we think of infrastructure as a sector that includes that includes transportation, distribution and storage and processing. And then we think about food businesses that exist at multiple scales. There's the solo entrepreneur, the food cart owner, the restaurant owner, the retail store. And then, of course, we have our consumers, which is literally everybody who needs to eat, and how, you know, how consumers are impacted by access issues, as well as choice, nutrition, culture, all of those things. And then we have our emergency food sector that is responding to consumer need. So, for example, food pantries and Meals on Wheels. And then, of course, we have our waste stream, which is what happens to food that isn't eaten or that goes to waste. And how does that impact our environment? And, you know, how can we either minimize that or reuse what's possible out of that, out of food waste?
God, it is complex, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to what you just described, and dreaming up cooking or constructing a new food system plan, there are a lot of loose ends to tie together, aren't there?
Well, and that's the key, is tying them together. So one of the things that has always sort of we've defaulted to is that all these different sectors in our food system tend to operate in silos and aren't traditionally very well connected or coordinated, except, of course, at that transaction point, right, where somebody buys whatever, you know, the other sector produces. And so what we are trying to do, and this is really at the heart of systems change work, is really build, enhance, deepen the relationships between those sectors. You know, how do these sectors talk to each other better, coordinate with each other, meet each other's needs better in ways that are a win-win, right? You meet you meet one set of needs, and that's good for you too, because suddenly your product is more viable. And so the question here is, how do we weave these sectors together? And the quality of those relationships is really sort of the work of systems change. And that is very much where we are focusing both our organizing efforts, like the process of developing this food plan, as well as what we expect many of the recommendations to be about.
Interesting. Your silo example is especially interesting, where, you know, we all have to eat, yet we're walking down our own path toward that objective. Jonathan Zaroff is with me this morning. He has a question for
you. Yeah, I have some experience with that food waste issue you were talking about. In my experience, it seems like it's usually an individual, maybe representing an organization, that goes to a particular grocery store, and we know they're getting rid of a lot of food just because it doesn't look good, but it's perfectly good. But it doesn't seem like there's any system in place for that. And I'm wondering if policy is part of what you're recommending, and especially around that issue or any other ones, if there are policy pieces of this that need to change.
Yeah, I mean, there are some fantastic organizations that are trying to do this work. So there's individual entrepreneurs, right, who are actually making it part of their brand to use what would be considered food, like seconds, right, in their food, bruised apples and things like that. But there's also nonprofit programs that are out there trying to connect with, like Healthy Food for All, that are trying to connect with multiple entities that might have food waste. But I think the policy response here, one of the things that we struggle with overall, right, is that how do we support coordination and collaboration in these different areas? Because quite honestly, that's a level of overhead, right? We all raise money in the nonprofit sector to like do the work, but the coordination piece of it and the supporting the collaboration to actually bring those different initiatives together in a way that maximizes impact is where we don't always have resources for that. So policy can respond to that. It can ask, you know, our county government to invest some resources in that to help support us the development of a coordinated plan, a system around that, so that all these different entities are actually working together to identify and maximize the possibility of food waste collection and reduction.
If you're just tuning in, Jonathan and I are talking with Abba Thakkar. She's the owner of the grassroots consulting firm Mosaic and is a partner in the Dane County Food Action Plan Project. Abba, what are the important components of race when it comes to a successful food action plan?
And by race, you mean as in like the demographic trait
yes.
of race? Yeah. Well, I think the ways in which, you know, historical inequities have played a role in our community really show in the patterns of food insecurity, right? So, for example, our history of redlining and the ways that folks were historically segregated into racialized neighborhoods, and then the placement of full-service grocery stores and farmers markets and accessibility to healthy, nutritious food. I think the connection between race and culture play a role, like, you know, how are we able to source culturally relevant foods for people. I think the connection between race and economic security play a role. Can different racial groups, you know, based again on historical inequities, mm-hmm. can they afford healthy, nutritious food? Is there public transportation? How is that right. laid out in the right. city based on racial demographics?
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every factor.
Yeah, for real. Just barely under a minute that we have left here, lots of opportunities for public input going forward. Tell us how that can come about.
Yeah, so we have a consumer survey. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to fill out. You can find it on the Dane County Extension website, if you go to REAP on social media, they'll have links there, REAP Food Group. We're also going to be hosting and organizing a number of input sessions in collaboration with partner organizations that will hopefully cover all of Dane County and our different demographic groups. And finally, we're putting together a team of community navigators that will be attending existing events to gather input from people who are at those events. And that's just the consumer sector. Mm. We also have input opportunities for food entrepreneurs, for farmers, and for folks involved in the infrastructure side.
Wow. A lot of wind in that sail. Abba Thakkar, thank you for joining us and walking us through these components on the Friday Buzz. And thank you for your work.
Yeah, well, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Abba Thakkar is the owner of the grassroots consulting firm Mosaic and is a partner in the Dane County Food Action Plan Project. Interesting stuff, Jonathan.
Yeah, great interview, Andy. And, you know, I just wanted to say there's a lot of great interviews on this show. And, oh, hey, more coming in. But I want to give my heartfelt endorsement of this show. And, like, I didn't own this show, but I did put 28 years in it, and I had an investment in it. And I think you came in, and you could have fired everybody when you came in, because that would have made everything more efficient, right? But instead, you, like, continue this great relationship with Ankur and Jim, you know, this incredible staff of this Friday Buzz. And you took everything that I loved about the show and that I was proud of with the show, and you kept, you know, pretty much all of it. And then you added to it and, you know, and made it even better.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And, you know, like, I hope that means something that, like, I appreciate it. I appreciate what you've done with the show.
And I really appreciate you saying so. I was one of your biggest fans. And to hear you give back, if my mother were alive in here, she would say, you're going to break your arm slapping each other on the back.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that.
I mean it. You could have even said that off air, and I would be equally touched. Thank you very, very much. We've only got 2.5 minutes for you to call in and join someone that Ankur just walked in. No?
Wait, that's not the one. Here it is.
Anonymous.
This is the one. We got an anonymous pledge, and they listen to The Buzz, and especially the amazing legacy of the show is what they're enjoying about this show. Not taking any thank you gift here, but you can. You're welcome to.
Join Anonymous at 608-256-2001. I confess that we didn't do very well last week.
We're doing better, but I don't know if we're making up for a whole
I don't think so.
Other show
We've got
yet.
2 minutes for you to call in. If you like this stuff, if you want to see us keep doing it on Friday and you want to keep all of the great entertainment and information programs going, the weekend is my favorite place for WRT, and we're just getting it rolling. Call us at 608-256-2001 or go online, please, and help us keep this ball rolling. WRTFM.org.
You know, you can donate anytime, but the pledge drive is when it really matters. And this is the moment when your gift is doubled by a match. That's not going to happen on next Friday's show if you give. So please give now, 608-256-2001.
Yeah, it's no fun asking for money. It is fun and challenging putting the show on, though, but we can't do it without the dough. And so we forge ahead and we ask you to move the couch cushions and get the change under there. We know there's at least $17 in change in the couch.
It might seem at first that it's not fun to give money, but actually seeing that money coming out of your account alongside, like, you know, the things that you don't want to give to, like your phone bill and your gas bill, that are a lot less fun. I love seeing WRT coming out of there. Like if you're an Evergreen donor or if you're making your one-time donation, it makes you feel good. It gives you a warm feeling to join this community. This is a great community, and when you give, you are part of it. 608-256-2001. Wrapping it up here.
We're going to leave you in about 10 seconds. Thank you, Jonathan Zaroff. Will you come back again soon, I hope?
Yeah, whenever okay. You invite me. Can all I thank right. people really quickly?
Real quick.
We got Peggy,
yep.
Norm, Anonymous, and Hana, and Kia
and Coco,
and Cynthia. No, Cynthia, we got, and Patty.
Yes, thank you, everybody.
Hope you got
stay
them all.
Tuned for Chris Powers and Mud Acres. We're about 6 seconds into his hour right now. You're listening to WRT FM 89.9 in Madison, Wisconsin. Have a great damn weekend. Aloha. Kamaaina.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, March 7th.
May I just say that the stupidest, most despicable, most self-defeating political tactic in our present hyper-partisan climate is the accusation that victims of today's horrific wildfires, floods, and such are getting what they deserve because of their political views. Start with this month's catastrophic floods in Appalachia. If you've never had a river gushing into your home and town, you can't imagine the destruction, muck, stench, injuries, death, and despair. Yet, various numbskulls who profess to be progressive have posted taunts online, chortling that these devastated victims are red state, small government Trump voters who don't deserve government's helping hand in their time of dire need. Likewise, right-wing MAGA squads, including some GOP Congress critters, routinely jeer at wildfire victims in blue states and cities, gloating that hellfire is righteous punishment for, quote, ungodly people who oppose Trump's divine mission. Hello, this is not politics. It's disgraceful inhumanity, and those who engage in it are scuzz, insults to America's ideals.